You may be seated. Find you a seat. As we kick off this new year with a new message series entitled Dream On. Entitled Dream On. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. We'll get there in a moment. If you don't have your Bible, you can look on our Key Point Church app. You can download the app. You cannot look at Facebook. You cannot look at the football game that's coming on at 12. All right, we'll get there in a moment, all right? But you can download the Key Point Church app and follow along on my with my notes and message notes and everything. Luke chapter 5 has to be one of my favorite action passages in the gospel. And the reason why is, because it gives us a real picture, an applicable picture for you and me of how faith looks like for the everyday common person like you and I. Because according to Scripture, it's faith that moves the heart of God towards us, right? It's faith that moves mountains. One particular time, well, actually it was several different occasions, Jesus was praying for people and they received their healing. And he said these words. He said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith. It's all about faith. Faith is how we please God. Faith is how we move God's heart to bless us. It's one of our guiding values here at Key Point Church. A value is what guides your life. And here at Key Point Church, we have several of them. They're out on the wall in there. And one of them is faith is our response. It's not fear. It's not confusion. It's not doubt. But when we respond in faith, then heaven can begin to invade our lives here on this earth. Amen. So here's the deal. If I can, and I'm praying that this happens, if I, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can stretch your faith today and over the next several weeks, then I really believe it's possible for you to see Ephesians 3:20 transpire in your life. Now, they're going to put it on the screen. This is our Scripture for the year, Ephesians 3, verse 20. I'm going to read it in the message. And here it is. That God can do what? Anything. He can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. I believe that's what's going to happen, amen, in our lives. Those areas where we have done all we can, and we're really not seeing what we want. Perhaps in a marriage, maybe in a relationship, maybe in our professional life. But I believe God wants to, and the Holy Spirit wants to increase our faith so we can live out Ephesians 3:20. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, I want to allow your word to speak to me. So Lord, today as your word speaks, let me respond to what your word is saying. And Lord, today I thank you we're going to leave church changed, more and more like you. Regardless of what we did yesterday or last week, Lord, you still love us and that will never change. And God, we give you all the glory. And everybody said amen. See, God wants far more than you could ever imagine. He wants you to dream a dream so big that if he doesn't show up, then you're going to fall flat on your face. That's when you know it's a God-sized dream. And you know it's a God-sized dream whenever it goes beyond you. It's more than just, Lord, bless me and my little family or me and my single life or me and my new spouse. But it's Lord, bless us so that we can be a blessings to others. That's when you know it's a God dream. It's a God dream. Now, here's the title of today's message, and it's in the form of a question. And here's the question, which I believe the Holy Spirit is asking everyone in this room, and it's this. Can I get in your boat? Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, can I get in your boat? Can I use your boat? Come on, ask your neighbor, can I use your boat? Now, you're going to see how this applies in verse 1 in chapter 5. We pick up our story. Here it goes. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, one day, let me encourage your faith right here. This could be your day. This could be the day where you have an encounter with God at church and he begins to do things in your life that you never thought that you could do. This could be the day where you get delivered. This could be the day where you say yes to God and he begins to do things in you that you could have never even imagined. This could be your one day, but it's all contingent upon how you respond. So Jesus is preaching, by the lake of Gennesaret, the Bible says the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. So many people were gathering to hear Jesus preach. And you know he was preaching fire. I mean, he was preaching. So many people were intrigued and interested in his message. They were crowding him, and now he's about to fall in the lake. Can you imagine being there? Actually hearing Jesus preaching a message? Woo-hoo. Oh my gosh. Now, I'm a crazy Cajun boy from Baton Rouge, all right? Yeah, thank you, Baton Rouge, all right? And I'm going to give it my best shot today to be grammatically correct, which I'm probably going to make some grammatical errors. All you English teachers are probably going to be marking my grade down. And I'm going to give it my best shot, which I believe it will be 100%. I'm going to be biblically correct, all right? But could you imagine hearing this message from Jesus himself? God himself, who spoke and the world came into existence, now in the form of a man living among us? Colossians chapter 1 says, in him all things are held together. That's who's preaching this message. One can only imagine how powerful this is. And while he's preaching this message, he eyes a boat. He sees and spots a boat. Verse 2, he saw at the water's edge two boats, not one but two, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. So he's preaching this amazing message. He spies or eyes a boat. He gets in the boat and begins or continues speaking this message. Now, to me, that's kind of strange. It's kind of weird. Why would he do that? It might even be illegal. No lease agreement, no permission. He just got in the boat, all right? If you don't think that's weird, go to Prairie Creek Marina today on the other side of Rogers, all right? You go up to the marina and you go find the biggest boat you can find, because our motto here is go big or go home, all right? Get the biggest boat you can find. You go up to that boat and you just sit your little self down in that boat and you wait for the owner to arrive. And when the owner shows up, you say, hey, owner, give me your keys. Can I use your boat? PC preached a message today and he gave me permission, all right? Now, after you get arrested, don't call me. Call Pastor Keith, all right, or Pastor Jared. They'll come bail you out. You'll begin to realize how weird this is. And furthermore, why did he choose Peter? Was Peter's fishing boat shinier than all the other fishing boats? Did it have a bigger outboard motor than all the other fishing boats? I can think of a lot of reasons as to why he should not pick Peter. He was impulsive. He had a foul mouth. He was very aggressive and angry and violent. One particular time, he cut off a man's ear. Stole his sword and cut the guy's ear off. Now, you can't tell me he didn't have past issues, all right? You just don't go around cutting people's ears off if you don't have a shady past, all right? He's sketchy. But go with me. Jesus, knowing the future, that he only had 3 years remaining in his ministry before he was crucified, that he had to lay the groundwork for the church, the future church, the church that you and I are part of today, okay? He knew Facebook was a long time off. He knew Instagram was a long time off. You know, speed to market is so important today. How fast can I get this information out to everybody? He knew that was going to come, but he had to figure out a way to build a team and invest in people, to invest in those that could get his word out. So he chooses Simon Peter. Here's the word of God that became flesh. He lived among us, Jesus, looking for a boat to use. Don't miss the power of this moment. Here is the Creator looking to collaborate with his creation. Please get this moment here. The Creator of all things, the Creator wants to collaborate with his creation. He wants to team up with you and I, the Creator who spoke and all things were created, the heavens and the earth. He wants to team up with you and me, his most prized possession. You know, if Jesus would have wanted to create space between him and the shore, he could have defied the laws of buoyancy, right? I mean, he spoke and created water, right? I think he could have walked right on top of the water. In fact, we read several chapters later where he did exactly that. He could have, I know I would have that day, tell you the truth. I'm looking for awe. I'm looking for my Instagrams to go worldwide and get worldwide recognition. This is my chance. I'm about to get paid here. I would have done the moonwalk, the nay-nay, whatever white boys can do when it comes to dance. I'm so glad they came up with the chopper dance because us white boys can do that, all right? Now, I don't do all those other dances, just the chopper dance, all right, because I'm a white boy. All you white boys who can dance, you know what I'm talking about, all right? I love the sprinkler. Mm-hmm. And all the black people were laughing at us. God skipped y'all when he gave out soul. Anyway, that's just how I think. But anyway, everybody stay focused, all right? All right, thank you, thank you. Jesus could have walked on water, but he chose not to. Why? Because he wanted to collaborate with his creation. He wanted to choose a life. He wanted to use someone's boat. He wanted someone to believe in him and take him for his word and trust in him. He wanted someone to respond in faith and not fear. He wanted someone that would say, Jesus, all I have is yours. Now, what do you want me to do? And he empowered them so that he can use them and use them to reach others in their strengths. Now, here's a big one. We have a hard time understanding this one, and in our weaknesses. I can understand God using me in my strengths. Oh, I'm good in my strengths. Yeah, praise the Lord. But no, we're going to stuff and hide and push away our weakness. Why would God or Jesus, who can walk on water, want to use someone so flawed like me? Why would God, who can defy the laws of buoyancy, want to use my flawed, little, inferior boat? And oh, this is a lie of the enemy, how he gets us to accept these lies as excuses. Well, my boat's too little. Look at her boat. Her boat is much bigger. Look at his life. His life is much shinier. He's better at that than I am. And oh, how we buy into the lie of the enemy and fail to team up and collaborate with God and just trust him at his word. It's so hard for us to understand that. And the truth is, there's always going to be a boat bigger than ours. There's always going to be someone better at speaking or teaching or selling a product better than us. There will always be someone like that. But listen to me, regardless of how flawed or inferior your boat is, when you put your boat in the hands of God, it becomes a luxury liner. Amen? Don't you ever forget that principle. Your life in his hands is enough. In your strengths and in your weaknesses. Doesn't scripture say it's in my weaknesses his strength is perfected? Sometimes I think God is begging for us just to be real before him and say, God, I need you. I've got a lot of flaws and holes in my boat, but Lord, I know when you get in my boat is good enough. It's good enough. And for some of us, we think he can't use us because of all of our broken pieces. And if we think like that, really, it's an indictment upon his power and his character to think that God can't use my brokenness. He is the creator who created the world out of nothing, right? Verse 3, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. He sat down. Now, here's what I've come to believe, and you got to get this principle, all right, is that Jesus doesn't need my boat. Jesus really didn't need Peter's boat. He doesn't need my boat. He doesn't need my resources and my talents and my time, but I most certainly need Jesus' blessings on my boat, amen? He didn't need Peter's boat, but he chose to. And once he got into the boat, Peter realized something began to change in Peter. I need this man in my boat. I need this man's blessings in his favor and his power in my boat. Jesus, don't you dare leave my boat. Now, I used to think early on in my salvation, I was very naive about this. I thought God needed me, and I was God's gift to all the single ladies, you know, and I was God's gift to all the worship leaders, you know, and all this stuff, and because I led worship for many years. And I quickly began to realize that that was so wrong. God doesn't need me. At the end of the day, I need God more than ever. And I don't want to go a day without God. I used to think Because I grew up in a church where they taught tithe and offerings. They taught the spiritual blessings of tithing. And I would think, well, why do they need my money? God doesn't. My money is just maybe to keep the light bills on or keep the pastors paid, you know? And that's not the case. I quickly began to understand is that I needed God's blessings on everything that he gave me. And when I tithe and return the 10% and give offerings, I am released from a curse, as the Bible says, and it also releases God's blessings in my life. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says this, that I rob God when I withhold the tithe, all right? So you can't get mad at me. This is not my opinion. This is the Bible. Everybody say Bible, all right? A Bible. If you want to release God's blessings in your life faster than anything else, begin to trust him with the things that he has given you. I need his blessings in my life more than ever before. The biggest honor we could ever receive is God asking us for our life. And there's a freedom that follows this. There's this favor that happens and this freedom that happens in our life when we say, God, all I have is yours. God, all I have is yours. You gave me my boat anyway. And Lord, if you want my boat to be a blessing, then Lord, you can have it. Oh, by the way, just in case we have forgotten this, who created the tree from which we cut down to make the boat? All right, it's all his anyway. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, I love this part, put out into the deep water. Now he is focused on Simon. He's having a face-to-face encounter with Simon, a heart-to-heart. Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, there's always two things you want to tell somebody, and most of the time it's the more ethical, take the high road. You know, you ever been in a situation where you really want to tell that person what you thought and you said something, maybe even a lie to protect yourself, and you left there and thought, man, if I have another chance again, I'm going to tell him the truth, you know? Well, Peter was notorious for speaking the truth, and I love it. Here's his humanity, all right? Jesus himself says, Peter, I want you to push out into the deep water, let down your nets, and here's his humanity coming out. Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Now, this is where a lot of people give up. It's where a lot of people quit. I've tried it. It won't work. We haven't caught anything. And they begin to say things like this. Well, I have not. There's not enough. I have not. There's not enough. And what I call this is a scarcity mentality. It's a scarcity mentality believes that God only has one pie to spread out amongst everybody. Now, today when you leave, we've got some Little Debbie cherry fruit pies, all right? Come on, somebody. PC loves you, all right? If you're doing Whole 30, just hold on to it because it's got a shelf life of about 17 years, all right? We're going to give you one when you leave today. Now, a scarcity mentality says God only has one Little Debbie cherry pie. And if I'm standing in line and he starts divvying out pieces of that cherry pie and he runs out before me, oh, no way. So what happens? Scarcity mentality takes over. And I begin to say, no, I can't do this. And I don't live with this mindset of God, all I have is yours. And I clench my hands like this. Oh no, what am I gonna have tomorrow? So fear and manipulation takes over. We start dreaming small. We start thinking small. Here's what I have learned, that God has an endless supply of Little Debbie cherry pies, amen? Endless supply. Come on, somebody say endless. Do I have any people who work in replenishment in here, all right? As the moment someone takes one pie off the shelf, seven more appears. The moment someone takes those seven, 14 more appear. Instantly, like that. He's just raining down cherry pies or apple pies if you like that, all right? Or coconut pies, whatever you want. God has an endless supply of pies. Now notice Peter's response. He says how he feels, then he says what he really needs to do. But because, verse 5, you say so, I will. There's the power of his will. God gave us a will to choose. Like you chose to get up, get dressed, and come to church today. You chose to get here. He said, I will let down the nets. In other words, I'm taking a chance. And here's what you got to understand as they put it on the screen. You'll never know what God can do for you until you let him in your boat. You never know. Once again, this could be your day. It's all contingent upon how you respond, and you'll never know. And that's what faith is. Faith is pushing out into the deep, saying, I'm frustrated, I really am. I've washed my nets, I'm ready to go home. Jesus, get out of my boat, all right? You're slowing me down. But if you say so, I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna take you at your word. I'm gonna dream on. I'm frustrated. Here's the point I wanna make. If there is a frustrating point in your life, area in your life, you gotta understand something about frustration. Your breakthrough is often at the place of your greatest frustration. All right? Your breakthrough is often at the place of your greatest frustration. And some of you are frustrated about something in your life. Don't you dare quit. You say, God, because you say so, I will let down the nets. You never know. This could be your day. You could be on the threshold of stepping into the next great breakthrough in your spiritual life, or your family, or your future family. You never know. In verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. That's a good problem to have right there, right? The problem before Jesus showed up is that their nets were empty. Now Jesus shows up and a miracle takes place, and now their nets are breaking. And the blessing just doesn't stop there. This is what scripture says in verse 7. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So when you respond in faith and you continue to dream on and you push back past those moments of frustration in obedience to his word and his promise, you will begin to see God's promises fulfilled in your life. And not only will it bless you, but it will bless those closest to you, your family, your children, your employer, your employees, whatever it is, those you work with, your coworkers, it will bless them. Now, the opposite is true as well. You respond in fear and doubt and confusion, that's going to trickle down to them as well. Well, I guess we just can't trust God. I'll just go to church every week and just go through the motions. Jesus didn't die on the cross for me just so I can go through the motions of church, amen. He died so that I could have this life right here. He died so that I could dream big and dream on. Now, here's the part of the story as I close that just really amazes me every time I read it. Verse 11, it says, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. Think about this. Here's Simon Peter, who is a commercial fisherman who catches fish for a living, takes those fish to the market, sells them, makes Benjamins, and goes to pay his bills. Didn't press pause and say, Jesus, let me go sell my boat on Craigslist so I can have some pocket change for our journeys. Let me take these fish because they're gonna spoil. No, none of that. They left it all and followed him. He left a lot of money on the table. You'd have to agree with me, right? I believe he was investing that. Because I'm sure someone came along and said, praise the Lord, someone left their boat and got a boat. I'm sure someone came along and said, look at these fish. Let's take them to the market. Money. Peter had what scholars call a theophany. And it's a God encounter. And really, that's what we pray every week for. That specifically to happen at every service, that whoever comes to Key Point Church and all of our services to have a theophany, a God moment, where you get face to face with God. He gets in your life, and all of a sudden you start feeling this sense of destiny and purpose that's bigger than you. You begin to dream on. You begin to ask big. You begin to believe that Ephesians 3:20 can happen in your life and in your family. And that's exactly what we're believing for in 2019. I believe there's some people in here today that need to encounter God like that. You're dreaming small. Your life has become controlled by the scarcity mentality when God is asking you, just release it and say, all I have is yours. Trust me. Now, he wants us to be stewards, but he wants us to trust him with our life. You bow your heads as we close. I'm going to end with this scripture again, Ephesians 3 and verse 20. God can do anything. You know, far more than you could ever imagine, far more than you could ever guess or request in your wildest dreams. Listen to me, Key Point Church. It's time for us to start dreaming again. It's time for some of you to stop dreaming small and start trusting God with those dreams and those promises that He gave you years ago. It's time. It's time. Now, as we close today, as we do always here at Key Point Church, we respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. What is He saying? What is He saying? I think the first arena, maybe the first area, is salvation. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe what you need to do today is give your heart to Jesus, to confess Him as your Lord and Savior, to make Him your number one. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about making Him Lord of your life. Now, this is not talking about repenting because of sin. This is about making Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you've never confessed Christ as your Savior. Well, right now, I believe you can do that. Maybe you did years ago, but He's not number one in your life. Today, you can make that confession. So this is what I want us to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want us all to say this prayer in this room out loud. Say it with me. Say, Jesus Christ. Come on, say, Jesus Christ, I ask You to save me. I proclaim You as my Lord and Savior. Thank You for changing my life. Thank You once again for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Now keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. See, that was a very simple salvation prayer. And if you prayed that prayer and that was your response, then you are saved. It's that simple. Now here's the next step. I'm not going to make you get out of your seat. I want to see your hand. See, the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. And here at Key Point Church, we raise our hand. And it's real simple because it's an outward expression of what I just prayed. And I believe there's at least 10 to 15 people in this room that prayed that prayer with sincerity, and that was your response. And no one's looking around. No one's looking around. So right now, if that was you, I want you to raise your hand. Say, that was me. Yeah, thank You, thank You. Just raise your hand, thank You. Hands going up everywhere, thank You. Wow, thank You so much. Thank You, thank You. Thank You for Your sincerity. God sees you. All right, you can put your hands down. Now let's pray over this message. Maybe this message was for you and it's resonating in your heart and in your spirit. Maybe what you need to do is respond in faith. There's an area that's causing much frustration. Maybe it's a weakness that you can't find strength over. Maybe it's a situation you're dealing with a friend or a loved one. It's just frustrating. Right there where you're sitting, you may just want to raise your palms up. You can put them on top of your legs. My hands are up because there's a situation. I'm asking God to give me the right faith and so I can respond correctly. Father, I think You see our hearts. You see every need represented in this room, every couple, every single again, every widow and widower. Lord, You see every need, and Lord, there's not a need that doesn't move You. But Lord, what moves You more than anything else is faith. And Lord, today I pray we respond in faith. Faith, God, in our humanity, we may be frustrated. We may feel tired and anxious and confused, but Lord, let us not end right there. Let us say, but Lord, if You say so, I will trust You. I will operate in faith, God. And Lord, I thank You that we're going to have an encounter with You right now, a sense that there's something greater than us happening. There's a purpose and a destiny in my life that's bigger than me. And Lord, I need You to show up. I need You to show up. I need You. So Lord, today I respond in faith. Yes. You can use my boat. Yes, You can use my life. Yes, You can use whatever I have. Because at the end of the day, all I have is Yours anyway. It's all Yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, 1230 service. Come on, put your hands together right now for Jesus. Come on, praise Him like you mean it.